When we share our faith, what do we preach? We preach what we have in Christ. The sinner out there, when we get to him, we preach what Christ brought for him and what is available for him in Christ. What does he have in Christ? He has salvation in Christ, free from his works. He's got forgiveness of sins. He's got the person of God inside him, free from his works. He's got a offered to him for free in Christ. Is the removal of any distance between him and God. That's what we preach. We don't put a focus on works. The only thing that we can focus on is what I've seen practically when it comes to works. Is if people struggle with certain things and say, "Man, I want to get rid of an alcohol problem," then I want to get rid of drugs. I want to get rid of prostitution. I want to get rid. If people come with that, you know, and they say, "How can I get rid of this?" Then we can say, you know, Christ Jesus has come and he has already set you free from your sins. So you offer him freedom, free from his efforts. One thing we must realize, when we preach out to the lost and to the church, the same message, for you, can we just organize that door? It's going to make a noise all the time. put something in front there that it can't close. If we preach to people in the church or out the church, the focus is not change. If you sit in the bus and you share the gospel with somebody, and he gets the idea that you want to change him, he will run. He's not going to accept. If I come and I talk to you and you realize I'm trying to change you to become a Muslim, when you find that out, You put up the guards, you know. You say no, I don't want anything. Then you don't listen to what he says. So when a person realizes that you are not talking to change him, you are talking about something that has happened long ago. And when you talk about that, you talk about in a way that he knows it includes himself. Okay, that's what you do. So. When I sit on the boat, I shared with somebody, maybe afterwards I will show you. And I was sharing with somebody, and Vessel recorded it, I didn't know. He was recording how I was evangelizing and sharing with a person. I was sharing with him what Christ has done, the fulfillment of the law. That's what I shared with him. And there was great excitement. And then he said to me, "But what about the Ten Commandments?" So now he was asking. The moment he asks, now I take my Bible. I say, "Let me show you." And I go to Galatians, and I read to him this scripture in Galatians. Let me read it to you. Galatians chapter 2:16. I said to him, I said, "My brother, read this," and I show him, let him read himself. And he said, and he was a school teacher, this guy. He says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified before God." When he read that, his eyes went big like this. He said, "Man, this is wonderful. This is wonderful." We read one or two other scriptures. Verse 13. "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree.' That the blessing of Abraham..." What is the blessing of Abraham? The blessing of Abraham is not cars and houses and money. The blessing of Abraham is to be righteous by faith. That was the blessing that Abraham had. Because even the Muslims, to have some of the blessings of Abraham, if we say the blessings of Abraham is money and many children and what of that, we have Satanists having those things. But the blessing of Abraham was he was righteous, free from the law. He didn't obey laws. He believed that God promised, and that because God promised, he trusted who God was. And God said, "If you can trust me, that trusting me, I call that righteous." So, the righteousness that you receive is because you believe and then you receive the free gift of Christ. That is the gospel. That is what we preach. So, he says here, clearly, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that they might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. By grace. Amen. We are saved by grace through faith. So when we preach the grace, people start to respond. Let me explain grace. In the CDs that I will send you guys, there are CDs just on grace. 8 messages, which explains it in depth. But in short, grace is the influence of God on the human race through Jesus Christ. That is grace. The Greek word for grace is influence. It's not to forgive or mercy or anything like that. Mercy is mercy. Grace is grace. It's two different things. It's not the same thing. If we forgive somebody and we say, I forgive you, that is not grace. That is mercy. You are merciful to that person. The word mercy means to treat somebody better than what he deserves. So you are merciful to him. Grace is the thing that caused your heart to say, I want to forgive you. And that is the influence of God's Spirit in your life. So when we preach grace, we preach the influence of God. Now to understand grace, let's use grace in a negative sense. When Adam sinned, he had grace on man. He influenced man. How did Adam's deed of disobedience influence us? It influenced us unto a system that says, by my works I'm righteous before God. That was the grace Adam had for man, or the influence of Adam on man. In the same way, Jesus, or God, had grace on us in Jesus Christ. How did what Jesus did influence us? When God became a human being, what influence does that have on me? When God came into human flesh, the way it influenced us, it means human flesh takes on the nature of God. And when he indwelled human flesh, it represented me and you, for we are humans. Isn't it? He did it on behalf of the human race. So when he did it, it was on our behalf. When Adam sinned, it was influencing us. When God became a human being in the form of Jesus Christ, it influenced us all. And that is the grace of God. So, how did God grace us that he became a human being? How does the fact that Jesus was sinless affect my life? It means I am sinless because of him. That is what it means. Let me read you a scripture in Hebrews. And what I share with you is what I share with sinners. I said, that's what Christ has done for us. They say, then after preaching, they say, but what must I do to receive this? Then I say, no, it's easy. The Bible says it says, repent of the way you believed. Believe in Jesus. Believe that this was for you. And say, Lord, I grab this for myself. The word receive in the Greek, to say, I receive Jesus. It means to grab something, to use it. It's like if I take this Bible, the Bible is lying here, and we are talking now. I want to speak to you. I want to preach. Now I take the Bible with a purpose to use it. That is the word for receive in the Greek. To take, to use. So when you receive Christ is when you take what he's done with a purpose to use it. So in other words, you hear, well, I'm not saved by my works. So you say, well, I take that, and I'm never going to use works again to be righteous before God. What Christ has done is he brought me holiness and a holy life free from efforts by his Spirit living in me. So I say, Lord, I believe that for myself, and from now on, your Spirit bears fruit in me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And I wait for the Spirit to bring forth the fruit, not my works. So I grab it to use it. And then when people say, well, what must I do? I say, you believe, you receive. You grab this and make use of it. It is for you. And that's how people get saved, one after the other one. And people get healed. People get set free. We've even got testimonies there of a lady that was born deaf in her left ear. You know, before I even prayed for her, She came forward for prayer, but she was born deaf. With people knowing it, that she was like that. She came forward for me to pray for her. I said, let me test your ear. So when I whispered into her ear, it was open. Just this word, when she heard the word in the benches of how free she is, of how Christ has done it. Now there's nothing that can disqualify you to be healed, to be blessed, to be righteous before God. Jesus removed all the disqualifications that we can have because of our inability to obey the law. He removed it. When she heard it, she was even healed from deafness. And that is what happens. So many times, I've had it so many times. People come forward, they come, they say, no, I've got a lump here, you know, I need prayer. I said, let me see the lump. She said, it's gone. The word says, I've sent my word, and it healed them. Isn't it? I've sent my word. But what happens is so many times we don't see results because we don't preach the same word. We are preaching a different word. Paul preaches about that many times. I was reading 2 Corinthians now, from verse chapter 10, 11, 12. He says, there are many people that come in amongst you. He says, when I came in amongst you, I never begged you for money. I never I received money from another church. I came to you, like what I did in Kalabu. I went there with money from other people. I served them. He says, I don't use my own money. I use my own money. I preach to you. I come to you, I preach, I never condemn you, I love you, I show you the good works. Then other preachers come, they demand money from you, they give you the law, they slap you in the face, and then you follow them. Why? You know, because they came after Paul. And then Paul says, to me was given a messenger of Satan. And then he was talking about that man, people that came after him. Wherever he preached, they came after him to correct what he said. To kill what he was saying. He says, it's a messenger of Satan. Which is in my flesh. Talking about the flesh of Paul. Saying, yeah, you know, Paul is a weak man. He's a this, he's a that, whatever. People preaching after Paul, destroying his work. He says, God, take this away. That I can also boast, saying, I've got a church here. I've got a big church there. I've got this. Then God says, don't worry about that boasting. The grace is sufficient. Just preach. Because God had in mind what Paul was doing. In writing the Bible, preaching for thousands of people after he died. So in the same way, when we preach a message that can bring excitement to people. Excitement comes from knowing what you got for free. If I come to you today and I tell you, you know what, you can get a nice Toyota pickup. You can get a Toyota Corolla today. It's only $4,000. Does that make you happy? No, because if you get the car, but you must pay for it. But if I tell you, here's the keys of a Toyota Corolla, it's for free. What will happen in your heart? You'll be happy. So the message of it is for free is what produces joy in people's hearts. You know, if I tell people today, 3 a.m., I am dishing out 50,000 kwachas per person here at the flat. You will not find one person late. You will not find one person not coming. If you tell that, you'll find people will run here at 3 a.m. Isn't it? Because of what they can receive for free. Why do they do that? Because God has made a man to follow what is for free. So why do, in church, we must use what God has put in a man to follow what is for free, isn't it? So when you tell somebody, let me explain to you the good thing Christ has given you for free. Inside him there's something that wants it. And he will take it. But if you tell it how difficult it is to be saved. You know what? If you want to be saved, stop your prostitution. If you want to be saved, stop your drinking. If you want to be saved, stop this, and go and serve God with all your heart. That message pushes people away. And even the people that do, because you'll find people repenting, because they know what they do is wrong, and they will be under a fake salvation. Because that salvation is not born of God. It's born of man. The origin of that new life does not come from a revelation of Christ and the Spirit indwelling. You know what Paul says here in Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 2 Corinthians 12. He says, if somebody else comes and preaches another gospel and you receive another spirit. So there are people that preach the gospel and those people receive a spirit. They could even fall under that power of that spirit. But that was not the gospel of Christ or the Spirit of God. It was the gospel of works and the Spirit of works that they receive. And once they've received that Spirit of works, all they want is works, works, works. If you come with grace, they are blinded. They don't want to see it. They just want to, because the Spirit in them directs them to works. And that's why it's so important to preach the gospel of grace, that people can be free and receive that good news. Let's go to, you can, in that Bible, you can read for us, Luke 24. So my advice to you is to evangelize. Don't go out of the sense of obligation. Well, I'm obligated to go and evangelize. What you do is you study the word. Let Ben teach you more of grace. Go and study the Bible to see grace. When those CDs come, listen to them, not once, over and over and over. You know, to get grace in you until you feel that excitement. When you feel that excitement, you will find you sit next to somebody you are not ashamed to share. So, you know, I like to start when I share with somebody, say, you know what? I realized something. The value of man is greater than what we ever thought. You know, the value of something is determined by what you pay for it. So I tell a sinner, your value is the same as the resurrected Christ to God. I said to them, do you know that God cannot remember? He didn't choose not to think of your sins. That is to forgive, to say, well, I will not think of your sins. The Bible doesn't say God will not think of our sins. The Bible says He cannot remember our sins. If I say I cannot think of my sins, then I choose not to think of it. But if you cannot remember it, it's impossible to even think of it because you cannot remember. He says, I will not remember your sins anymore. It is not in the ability of God to remember your sins. Imagine telling that to a sinner. He will say, what church are you in? You know, the one time there was a guy I listened on YouTube. He was in, I don't know if it was Hawaii or someplace. And he traveled. It is a businessman. I listened to him on YouTube. It's awesome. YouTube is a thing on the internet. And he testified. He said he came to the hotel and the time difference, you know, from the US to where he stayed was big. So 3 a.m. he's already awake waiting for breakfast. So he was thinking, is there some place where I can go for breakfast? So he walked and there was a coffee shop. It was open 3 a.m. So when he was there, two prostitutes came in and they sat there. And I can't remember what the one's name was. Let's say it was Rachel or whatever. And he said to her, and then they were talking, but he was sitting here, drinking coffee. So here the one prostitute said to the other one, you know, tomorrow is my 40th birthday. So the other one says, now why do you say that to us? Do you want a cake? She says, hey man, don't be rude to me. I just wanted to share with you, I'm 40. And they laughed, you know. Finished. So then he was thinking, oh, you know, this woman is becoming 40. Let me have a birthday party for her. So he called the waiter, not the owner of the restaurant. He says, can we tomorrow morning at 3 a.m. have a birthday party here for her? He said, of course. So the next day he went and he bought beautiful things, like a party. He made it very nice. And bought a big cake. And then they let know all the prostitutes. And all the prostitutes came before the time. And then when she came from the streets from her work, sleeping with men, she came in and everybody shouted, surprise! And they gave her the cake and she was crying. She said, you know what? Never in 40 years has anybody ever bought me a cake. You know, and after they sang to her, they said to the man, now, what do you want to say something? He says, yes. And he preached the gospel. Then afterwards, the owner of the restaurant came and says, Are you a preacher? Do you preach? He says, yes, I preach. He says, what church do you go to? He says, no, to the church that can even throw a party for a prostitute at 3 a.m. Then that man says, there is no such a church, because if there was such a church, I would have been a member of that church. You see?
Yes.
The love of God. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. But what happened in church is we think because we love the church, we expose a multitude of sins. Love is not exposing sins, it's covering sins, forgiving sins, not dealing with people according to their transgressions. Like Romans 4. Oh, I wanted to read Luke. Let me just go to Romans 4 quickly. You don't have to go there. I just want to read this very quickly, then we go to Luke. Stay at Luke. Listen to this. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So when we preach the gospel, faith that saves people, what is that faith? It's the faith that believes that God can justify an ungodly man. What does justify mean? There's a difference between righteousness and justification. Righteousness means to be as you ought to be. Justification means to be blessed according to your righteousness. So, the man that believes and says, I believe in a God that can bless a sinner that doesn't qualify by the law, that faith rests in the goodness of God. That faith is what brings salvation. And this is what it says. But to him that works not the law, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. And that's the gospel we preach. We preach to the sinners, God through Christ imputes righteousness on you without your works, my friend. So you can have it for free. You are always running away from the church. That's what I tell sinners. You're always running away from the church because what the church has been preaching to you is you can be righteous if you change your works. And I understand why you are running away from the church. I say it to people. I say, I understand. I also will be running away with that message. But the true message is, you can receive righteousness free from your works. That is what we preach, that Jesus Christ came and made man righteous by his works. And we receive that righteousness as a gift free from our works. And he does not impute our trespasses against us. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Come this blessedness upon the Jews only, or also upon the Gentiles? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it reckoned? When Abraham was circumcised or when he was uncircumcised? Was Abraham reckoned righteous when he obeyed God to be circumcised? No, no. He was reckoned righteous when he believed God. When God says, I will bless you, he believed God. It was accounted him for righteousness. Even before he was circumcised. Before he obeyed any law, he was seen as righteous. Because he believed the promise of God. The promise of God is that that salvation is for every man as a free gift. The Holy Spirit is given freely to every man through what Jesus Christ has done. When you believe that, you are made righteous. That's what we preach to sinners. That is the good news that people need to hear. I'm going to end off with Luke. Luke chapter 24, verse 21. Verse 16. These are the... let's read from verse 13. And behold, two went... This is after Jesus' crucifixion, after the resurrection. So two men from Emmaus walks on the road, and Jesus comes and meet with them. And behold, two of them went to the same day to the village of Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about three score furlongs. And they walked together all of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near
and went with them. So there were two people, and here comes Jesus walking with them. And their eyes were shut, that they could not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication? That word communication is also the Greek word logos. It's the word word. It says, what type of word are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? So he says, what type of message do you talk that you are sad? And so many times in church, you find people are sad. Why? And that's what Jesus asked these people. What type of gospel? What type of word? What type of message are you talking to each other that you are so sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, are you the only a stranger in Jerusalem, and has not known the things which are come to pass there these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the men, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it has been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and concerning women also of our company was made astonished, which were early at the grave, and they said that he was raised. Now listen to what Jesus said. And certain of them which were, verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning from Moses and all the prophets, now listen, this is the key. And beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, and then they stayed there. And then when they left, they said one to another, verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us while he was talking with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? So, our work, when we share with people, is to open up Jesus Christ in the scriptures for people. Because the reason why people are sad out there, most people today, they know about Jesus. Like these people to Emmaus, they knew about Jesus. But they didn't know the truth about Jesus. They knew the scriptures. They knew the prophets. They knew that there was a Messiah to come, everything. But they, with that in mind, they were still sad. But when Jesus came and explained the scriptures, fulfilled in what he has done, their hearts burned within them. Oh, hallelujah. And then when he left, they were still happy, for they knew when Jesus explained the scriptures that the Christ that is going away there is also indwelling them. And who he is who they are. Therefore, they didn't feel alone anymore, even if Jesus left, because they knew Christ indwells them now, and they are in the likeness of God for what Christ has done. He explained the good news to them. When they understand the good news, they believed and they were full of joy. So the world out there, many of them are sad when it comes to church. The reason why they are sad when it comes to church is scriptures has been preached, but not the interpretation of Christ inside those scriptures. That's why they are sad. So as evangelists, as gospel people, evangeli is the word, evangeli, Afrikaans as well, which means good news. Your word for gospel is the word good news. We are good newsers. We are there to spread the good news, not of condemnation and judgment. If people ask you, what about judgment? You say, yes, I thank God for judgment. God judged all our sins in the body of Jesus. Finished. But what about end time judgment, they might say. It says very easy. Those who believe and grab the hold of Christ, Christ will live in them and they will be made new. Those who have not believed on this good news and rejected this free grace, how can they be saved? They chose by themselves to die. Finished. End of it. That is what it is. So, as evangelists, we go and we spread the good news. Even you can go and look at the last example in Acts chapter 8. Philip the evangelist was taken
into the desert, and there came an Ethiopian on a chariot. And then he was reading from Isaiah. Then he got on the wagon and explained, and he was reading. He said, "Do you know what you are reading?" And then he explained those scriptures concerning Christ. The man said, "Can I be baptized?" And he was baptized. Isn't it awesome? So when Christ and His finished work is portrayed to people, they want to believe. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of what? Of God's grace. Amen.